This morning, we're kind of leading into our series. I had a four-part series planned, and then I realized there's five sermons, or five Sundays in January. And I was just going to think about that later, but I really felt like the Lord gave me something to say that kind of leads into the whole point and also emphasizes a fresh beginning at the new year. I want to focus today on the verse Galatians 5:13. But I'm going to read a few verses to put this passage in the broader context of the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. So let's hear God's word. And I'll be reading a few verses at different spots, beginning with chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Let's hear God's word. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And then chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And then verses 13 through 15. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." And then verses 7 through 10 of chapter 6. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." This is God's word. Booker T. Washington, in his book Up From Slavery, describes what it was like for black slaves at the end of the Civil War. He says, "Finally the war closed, and the day of freedom came. It was a momentous and eventful day to all upon our plantation. We had been expecting it. Freedom was in the air and had been for months. As the great day drew near, there was more singing in the slave quarters than usual. It was bolder, had more ring, and lasted later into the night. The night before the eventful day, word was sent to the slave quarters to the effect that something unusual was going to take place at the big house the next morning. There was little, if any, sleep that night. All was excitement and expectancy. The most distinct thing that I now recall in connection with the scene was that some man who seemed to be a stranger, a United States officer, I presume, made a little speech and then read a rather long paper, the Emancipation Proclamation, I think. After the reading, we were told that we were all free and could go when and where we pleased. My mother, who was standing beside my side, leaned over and kissed her children, while tears of joy ran down her cheeks. She explained to us what it all meant, that this was the day for which she had been so long praying, but fearing that she would never live to see." What an amazing scene. The glory of freedom. There is an amazing joy in the releasing of the captives and the slaves to glorious freedom. And my friends, that is just the sort of joy that we should have as we see and learn about the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. It proclaims to us that we are free. For freedom, you have been set free, and you are called to freedom, the Apostle Paul says. If you have put your trust in Christ as Savior this morning, then you have been freed. You are free, and you should rejoice like the slaves did when they heard the announcement that they were free to go when and where they pleased. But what does it mean that we have freedom? From what does Christ set us free? So consider these seven ways that Christ has freed us, which by no means exhausts the way that Christ has freed us. Number one, Christ has freed us from guilt. Our sin has made us guilty before God and made us feel guilty in our souls. We are rightfully under the curse of the law because of our sin. The glorious good news of the gospel is that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us so that we might get blessing instead. We stand justified, declared righteous, accepted before the throne of God on the basis of the righteousness of Christ. And so we no longer need to feel the crushing weight of the guilt of sin. We are free. Two, Christ has freed us from old habits. The old habits of sin no longer have dominion over us. We will, in this life and at various times to greater degrees, experience the presence of sin. But we no longer need to be under its power. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5:24. Three, Christ has freed us from anxiety. Now, we certainly may feel anxiety, but we don't need to let it dominate our lives. Why? Because Christ has given himself for us, we do not need to be anxious about the future. We can trust that the same Christ who has given his own life for us will not fail to give us everything else that we need as well and subdue all things for our good. Four, Christ has freed us from bondage to old wounds. We all have these things that have hurt us in the past, but we don't have to live in bondage to them. Christ's assurance of blessing tells us that these wounds do not describe our destiny. In addition, Christ's power within us frees us to forgive and so release ourselves from the bondage of those who have hurt us. Five, Christ has freed us from the power of bad relationships. Why do we remain held in the bondage of bad relationships? Because we think that in spite of how bad they are, they give us what we need. But Christ has said that he will give us all that we need. And so, when we see that and know that we are freed, we don't have to bargain our well-being away in bad relationships while eating the scraps of acceptance that people are willing to throw to us. We are freed to love and serve while placing around ourselves legitimate boundaries. Six, Christ has freed us from idols or wrong centers. When an idol takes over our life, we look for life from it. This causes us to sacrifice everything for the sake of it. For example, work can become an idol for us. We think that that is where our life is. And so we sacrifice our family, our marriage, our health, and our children to it. Christ frees us from this because he delivers to us the status and security and blessing that we are looking for in our work and that our work promised but could not deliver. Seven, Christ has freed us from the fear of death. Death has lost its sting. It will not win in the end. We know that when we die, we will be with Jesus. When he comes again, we will rise in our bodies to new life forever. We know that he will take care of those whom we love and leave behind. We do not need to cower before death as our society does. Christ has freed us. We can be ready to die and so be ready to live because Christ has freed us. So those are just seven ways. You could think of many more. But there is literally nothing more important that you can do this year than to think and see, think about the greatness of what Christ has done and so rejoice in your freedom. A greater sight of the freedom that you have in Christ will change everything for you. As I enter into my seventh year of ministry here, there are really just two things that I want you to see through my ministry. The first is to have a greater vision to see how great Christ is and how utterly sufficient all that he has is for you. This is the first thing. Not what we do, but what Christ has done, is doing, and will do for you and in you. Get that in view. Meditate on it daily. Listen for it in the sermon. Experience it in the sacraments. Pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to see it. Remind one another of these truths. Pray for each other that we will be able to see like never before how totally sufficient Christ is for everything we need. Pray that we will see how secure we are, how accepted we are, how empowered we are, how valued we are, how free we are. I can't say it enough or too often. We have everything we need for us secure in Jesus Christ. You are free. You are called to be free, to experience that freedom. The second thing, though, that I want you to teach you and want to remind you of day by day, week by week, is that when you are filled with joy because by faith you see the wonders of what Christ has for you, use that glorious freedom to work as hard as you possibly can to serve others, to do good, and to glorify God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks in its very first question, what's the purpose of a human being? What are we made for? And it answers, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. These are the two things. Those are the two things that I want to emphasize. And I think that's in line with our historic faith. I want you to find your joy and fulfillment in God. And being filled with that, I want you then to do all that you possibly can to glorify God to the highest degree you possibly can. Enjoying God and glorifying God are interrelated. Now, sometimes we need to press forward to do what we need to do, even when we don't feel like it, even when we feel we're at our wit's end. However, many times, what we need to do when we don't feel like serving is to go back to the root. Ask yourself, am I experiencing the freedom that I have in Christ through faith? Am I, through fellowship with him, being empowered to live a new life and enlightened to see the greatness of his power and love for me? It is faith working through love. That's a phrase taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Faith working through love. In order to work through love, we need to grow in our faith to see the greatness of who Jesus is and all that he has for us. And when we grow in that, when we grow in our faith, we can and will work through love. But sometimes we don't feel like we're ready to move forward. And I want to just address those who may be this morning in a place where they feel like you have nothing left to give. And I think of an analogy of this, I think of Peter's mother-in-law. There's a short little story of that at the beginning of Mark chapter 1, where Jesus on the Sabbath day comes into the home of Peter, and his mother-in-law is lying there in bed with a fever. And then just says simply, Jesus went, touched her, and healed her. And then it says, she got up and served. Now, when we are sick in body, no one expects that you're going to be out serving everybody. As we know well, too, someone might say, you should not be. You should be staying home, right? In bed, get better. But I think sometimes we miss that we can also be sick in spirit. We can be at our last end. We can be overwhelmed with anxiety. We can be feeling depression. We can be mourning and grieving. We may have things that happen to our spirit that keep us from serving others, and that's okay. We'll walk through those times. So what are we to do? If you feel like you have nothing left to give right now, then give attention to yourself. Get the help you need. Tend to your wounds. Get healthy. Get your spirit right. Take a rest. Take a break. Let your heart heal. Be around those people who give you most life. God does not need our service or his own gifts, which is really what we're giving back to him in service. The kingdom will make it on okay without you, and you will come back much better equipped to serve. Make no resolution this New Year's to do anything except to take in God's goodness until you feel empowered to move forward. And know that that's perfectly okay. If you feel like you have nothing left to give, then give attention to what you are doing. Do you really need to do all the things that you are doing? Are there things that you are holding on to that you don't need to? Are there areas you are spending money where you could stop? Are there relationships that have moved on, but you keep holding on to them? And do you need to think so much about all the things that our society tells you need to think about? I mean, whether you love him or hate him, does Donald Trump really deserve as much of our emotions and headspace as he's taken these past 4 years? You know, not at all. We don't need to worry. Our worrying about a lot of the things that society tells us to worry about is not going to make one bit of difference. And so we need to focus on the things that are important. In fact, I would say you need to spend your time, your heart, your emotions lavishly. But spend them lavishly on those things that are most worthy of expenditure. If you feel like you have nothing to give, work on increasing your faith. But also work on increasing your love. Notice Paul says, through love, serve one another. And yes, you can do that. You can learn to love more. You can learn to see the world and the people as God sees them. When it comes to believers, every believer you meet has acknowledged their sin and has come to the cross of Jesus Christ to receive that gift and is being transformed, is resolved to follow Christ, and is on their way to eternal glory in the new heavens and new earth. My friends, if we can see people that way, we see we have something amazing in common with other believers. So there's no reason not to love each one of them. But what about people outside the church? The Apostle Paul says, do good unto all, especially those of the household of faith. Every person you meet is a human created in the image of God. And that human is also made for community. We are social creatures. The world is full of friends in spite of sinfulness. If one friend departs, we have many more because God has filled the world with friends. We are made for community. But what if the community does us wrong? Then they harm themselves. If someone is unjust, then they are acting contrary to their nature. It's as if they were breaking their own bones. They deserve our pity as much as our condemnation. So we can learn to love even when people do wrong, to see that we can still love. We can still let God's love shine through us and be what we're created to be, even if others choose not to. And we can learn to love because God will teach us this. He will teach you to love, even your enemies, even in your darkest days. So you may not feel that you have much to give. Then give attention to what is going on in your heart and life. Find ways to reconnect with the freedom in the gospel. However, if you feel that freedom and joy that God gives through the gospel, then push forward to serve others. That's what you do with it. Push forward and push forward hard. Give it all you've got. Do all that you can. What should you do with your freedom? Listen carefully. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but through love, serve one another. That's what we do with the sense of our freedom. At Thanksgiving, we learn that we should see the blessings that God has given us in innumerable ways without ignoring the bad. At Christmas, we learn that there is a joy that transcends all our circumstances. At New Year's, we hear the good news of a fresh start. A whole year is before us. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to serve this year? I encourage you to make your resolutions as big as you possibly can without making them unattainable. So make them as big as you can and attainable as you possibly can. Resolve to do something that will equip you to serve better. Resolve to do something that will bless those around you. Resolve that in some significant way, or many, you will serve others in love. When you do, expect opposition. Expect resistance. Benjamin Franklin said, well, mankind are very superficial and dastardly. They begin upon a thing, but meeting with a difficulty, they fly from it discouraged. And everybody knows that from past New Year's resolutions, right? The Apostle Paul said concerning the Christian life, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What is true of the good of the Christian life is true of all good things in this life. There will be opposition to doing them, inside us and outside us. We have to accept that in order to accomplish anything significant. Your family or your church or your class will not applaud your efforts, most likely, to change things and make them better. Practicing an instrument or reading a difficult book will always be hard. Engaging in society will always involve the clash of political opposition. We've got to accept that and move forward. That's what serving through others through love is all about. So through love, serve one another and don't give up. So what are you going to do with a year? What are you going to do with a year? Maybe you need to take the whole year off from serving and just get mentally and physically healthy. That's fine. Your standing with God is not based on how much you serve this year. Your standing with God is based on the fact that you are justified and declared righteous on the basis of Christ's perfect righteousness and sacrifice. You're justified because God declares you righteous on the basis of Christ's perfect service, not yours. And so if you don't feel like you can serve, or even if you do feel like it and fail and don't, you're still okay. We go back to the fact that we stand in Christ. But if you're in good shape, or even decent shape, if you feel that you can serve, then whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Use the joy of the freedom of your spirit to serve one another in love. Push forward. Push hard. Don't take the path of least resistance. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Keep breathing in deep the love of Jesus Christ and the freedom that you have in Christ, and aim for something greater this year, out of a great sense of love for Christ and the power of Christ and a desire to glorify Christ. Whatever this year brings, the beginning of last year, we really had no idea what 2020 was going to be like. Whatever this year brings, there will probably be many things, many curveballs thrown our way, right? But let's aim at something. Let's try to do something significant. Let's have no wasted years. Let's do the things that will truly bring us satisfaction. Let's do things that will glorify our God and Savior. Let's do things that will impact our communities. Let's do things that will bless our church and the broader church. Let's do it for the love of others and the love of our great Savior who loved us and gave himself for us that he might free us to be a people for himself, zealous for good works. Amen.